Welcome to Free Fire Radio. The phone lines are open at 221-1402. And now, Free Fire Radio.
Is about to commence on News Talk 1400 KQMS.
Good morning, North State. Welcome to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. Phone lines here, 221-1402. We've got a big show lined up today. Let's introduce the crew first here. Hey, producer Kelly Frost Jr.
Frosty. Good morning.
Hey.
How's it going?
Fine. You shaved.
I did.
Wow.
Yeah, kind of weird, huh?
Yeah, you've got a chin.
I do have a chin.
Yeah, my soulmate, Linda.
Good morning. Wow. You know what? It's obvious that you've got a frog living in your throat and a cold, and it doesn't help when we have a puppy and we have to take her out all night long, you know, because lack of sleep on top of that. But right now in our community, we have a lot of things going on, and we are absolutely really touched that we have an outreaching of some folks here from the Shasta County Mental Health Service. And I'm sure, Carl, you'd like to introduce who they are.
Right. Well, today, you know, this is the show we were talking about yesterday. You know, yesterday we had on Debbie and Steve Allen, whose daughter, Shelby, died of alcohol poisoning. Very courageously, they've started a program to try and educate our children about this. And one of the big things they were talking about yesterday is just how many drinks it takes before that child is in way too much trouble, before anybody is in way too much trouble, and then what to do. So it's part of the education program. But one of the things we talked about yesterday was also the program we wanted to have today, and we were trying to line it up, and I didn't want to talk about a lot about it, but it concerns our families and our community, and the topic, of course, is suicide. And today, our guests are Dr. Mark Montgomery, who is the Director of Mental Health at the Health and Human Services Agency, Maxine Weda, who is a Clinical Division Chief for the Youth System of Care, and also Catherine Selman, who is a community education specialist of the Health and Human Services Agency. So welcome, and thank you very much for being here.
Good morning.
Well, what we're going to do first is, before, so we can get a little bit extra time here, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to come back to you, Dr. Montgomery. We're going to start talking about what's going on, you know, what we can do, what we should be looking for, and how perhaps we can prevent tragedies like this happening in our community. So this is Carl and the Bob from Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. Phone lines here are 221-1402. Join us on the other side. Hey, this is Carl and the Bob. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. Hey, look, our phone lines here are 221-1402. We have the experts in Shasta County. If you have any questions concerning the suicide, mental health problems, anything, these are the people we want to talk to. Okay, Dr. Montgomery.
Well, Carl, Linda, thank you for this opportunity to come on there and to communicate to our community on some of the resources that are available. And first, I wanted to first send our prayers and thoughts out to those family members and the family members that have experienced this horrible tragedy. This is a very difficult issue, as one can imagine, to try to manage on your own. And so our goal today is to talk a little bit about the resources that are in the community, some of the ways to engage some of folks that are actually having these type of thoughts or experiencing this unfortunate these unfortunate issues. But before we get to that, too, I also wanted to really recognize Jim Bartow over at Foothill High School and the Foothill High School crew that has put together a pretty good response as it relates to these tragic times, as well as the school district. So with that said, I also want to introduce Maxine Weda, who is our youth division chief. Throughout the years here in Shasta County, we have worked very diligently to try to put together a crisis response type of team, and I wanted to start off just communicating how difficult that is to really engage community members and individuals that are suffering or experiencing these type of thoughts of suicide. we here at in the county have basically two outstanding programs that that are there for folks 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And we'll talk a little bit about that in a minute. Challenges is probably one of the biggest issues on how do you engage individuals. And I don't know, I've got Katie here as well, is talking a little bit about the overview of suicide. And I don't know, Maxine, if you wanted to talk a little bit about engaging youth and how that could work if a young person or any individual is experiencing those type of thoughts.
Well, we know that children and adolescents in particular are more vulnerable to suicide because of sort of the nature of who they are. You know, they tend to be a little more impulsive than adults. They tend to focus a lot on the here and now. They don't have a lot of life experience behind them to help them know how to overcome problems in their lives. They tend to be real focused on social relationships. And so what's going on with their friends is really important to them. And if they have had a family or a friend involved in suicidal behavior, then it sort of lowers those barriers. It makes it seem like more of a viable option in terms of a way to handle your problem. So it's really important to just try to keep the communication open.
Well, the first thing I'm sure that's on many people's minds, I know it is on mine, is are there signs? And is it typical in teenage suicide that there is a mention somewhere before the actual action happens? Do you find that in your statistics?
The statistics actually show that for all age groups, most people who successfully commit, three-fourths of them, have either talked about it in the past or made previous attempts. So that idea that people who talk about it don't actually follow through with it is not true. So if you hear somebody talking about it, you need to pay attention. You need to start asking questions and let them know your concern, that their welfare is your biggest concern.
And is it true that if there's a death, let's say in the family, let's say of a matriarch or a patriarch or of, let's say, a good best friend or somebody, that it brings to the forefront the idea of death?
Well, I think loss of any kind can bring forward that idea of feeling isolated and lonely. And if somebody has a tendency towards being depressed, that can worsen their depression. And start kind of down that road.
I think I've read someplace that most of the people that try to kill themselves, that there's depression in their life, and that a lot of them are being treated for this. Or is this just something, one of those other urban myths you read?
You know, that's a great question. And what we've seen through just it's not a one size fits all. You know, there's multiple facets that going on in one's life where that suicide thought pops up. Maxine brought up a good point about significant loss, loss of a family member, loss of a pet, things of that nature also play into that. There is research that shows there's a historical trend, depression, that has some things to do with that. But overall, as you know, the message we're trying to send is that if anyone's experiencing those type of thoughts of hurting themselves or ideas that they no longer belong, those are the reasons and times to act, and that's the challenge: is how do you engage in this? In some cases, community members, family members, friends, and part of that is actually engaging and talking with them, approaching and asking questions, and continue to ask questions.
You know, one of our listeners wrote in yesterday to us. We were talking about children, your young adults doing silly things, doing things, and that's a real good part. It was about your lack of life experience. We talked about drinking like that, and his comment was, and it was a good comment, is that, hey, you're mature, you're going to do these things. And I thought about something we have in the service called, you know, the combat buddies, that person there is always checking on you and making sure. But when you're 16, your buddy's 16. So if you're before you skateboard off the house, he's probably up there helping you, you know, for your launch. So there's got to be another way of doing this. Now, we're going to take a quick break here. When we come back, I want to talk about peer pressure, or not peer pressure, but the amount of our friends, or the friends of our young adults, how they can help with this, and, you know, our education programs. And we want to discuss during this next 40 minutes our electronic entries, MySpace, Facebook and all these. This is Carl Lindabot here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. This is Free Fire Radio. Our phone lines here are 221-1402. We have the experts. This is the time to call. If you got a question about members of your family, friends, this is the time to call. Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. Phone lines here 221-1402. This segment of Free Fire Radio is brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop, Joe and Shelley. Finest selection of tobaccos, finest walk-in humidor in the North State,
cigars.
Espresso Joe's, coffee of any kind, any make, you want it blended, they'll do it, they'll make it, and it's reasonably priced, unlike some of the others here in town. Thanks, Joe and Shelley. It's a local business. Let's go to the phones. Lisa, good morning.
Good morning, Carl. How are you guys?
Good.
Hey, we're
Thank
peachy.
You.
I'm calling in about what happened over the weekend. My daughter and I knew the second one that happened Saturday, and my daughter will be going to Foothill next year.
Uh-huh.
I've been on her. I've been very concerned about her because she was, you know, good friends with him. She was best friends with his sister and used to hang out with them all the time at their house. I've been, you know, just trying to assess this, and I just ask her questions. We've talked about a lot of things. My concern is that you hear a lot of people blaming the parents, but in my opinion, it's the parents, the community, society, the peer pressure, the wanting, you know, the going on to, you know, basically pushing them to succeed. We don't know the issues that happened at home. My daughter doesn't know him anything. The whole thing, though, is just it's getting out of control, I guess. I don't know. And, you know, what can we do about it besides just, you know, I don't know what else we can really do about it.
You know, Lisa, this is it's a good phone call because we've got the people here that can start to give assistance in this thing. So thanks a lot for your phone call.
Okay.
Thank you.
So the point of this conversation, Lisa, is to support parents in doing what all parents do, which is try to protect and take care of their children. And that's a tough job, especially for parents of teenagers, because they're out there and it's really hard to know what's going on. You know, I think it sounds like you did what you need to do, which is sit down and talk to your daughter and just explore how she's doing and offer support and help and try to address those feelings as a family and go from there.
Are there specific signs that we should be looking for, Katie?
Yes. In all age groups, recognizing the signs of depression and possible suicide risk. First and foremost, if your youth is talking about dying, you really need to question that. You need to sit down with them face to face. If, as a teen, you are experiencing a friend talking about death, go to an adult. Go to somebody that you trust. If somebody has experienced a recent loss, as Mark and Maxine mentioned earlier, including loss of a job, there's a lot of that happening in our community right now as well. Loss of any sort can be a risk factor for suicide. If you're noticing changes in personality, changes in behaviors, lower self-esteem, if you have heard somebody mentioning that they're feeling very alone, if they're feeling hopeless, if they're feeling trapped in a situation, that is a really good time to ask some very pertinent questions.
And we're not just talking about, of course, the show was kind of started out for our teenagers, for our young adults, but this, of course, for anybody.
Suicide crosses the age span, so.
That's right.
Absolutely. I have a question. We talked about it at the break, and let's talk. Did you finish with your signs?
There are many signs. Those are some of them, yes.
Okay. Maybe we can go back to some of those signs.
Some other signs?
Yes.
Those also can be a prior suicide attempt, alcohol or other substance abuse, a history of depression or other mental illnesses, and withdrawal from family, withdrawal from friends or society.
Okay, well, let's go to the phones. I have a question after this particular caller, but let's go to...
Dorothy.
Dorothy, good morning.
Good morning. I have a question because it hasn't brought up and no one ever thinks about this, probably in this town. I have a son who is gay, and at 16, he attempted suicide. We saved him. He had overdosed. He had tried desperately in high school. He dated girls. His father and I didn't have a clue. He knew. And after this happened, I took some classes, and I found that a high rate, I'm not saying these boys were gay, don't get me wrong, I found there's a very high rate of suicide among young men, even women, even young girls, when they find this out because they're terrified to tell their parents. And my husband was not a beacon of hope for my, usually the men have a harder time with this than women do. Is there any place in this town where someone with that problem could address it? I know it's a very conservative town, and where if they were afraid to tell their parents, certainly they couldn't tell their friends. Is there any place in town where they can go? And I'll take my answer offline.
Thank you, Dorothy.
I would recommend checking in with NAMI's resources. The National Alliance on Mental Illness has a large spectrum of great resources. You can also check on Lifeline. They have some really spectacular connections to...
Now, are these in town, though?
They are not in town. They're online resources, but NAMI does have local resources, local people that you can talk to.
So there are, you could set up support groups here, then, on something like this.
Yeah. Yes. There's also a local group called PFLAG.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay, that's good. Go ahead. Parents for?
Parents and friends for gays and
lesbians. And yes, gays.
We need to take a quick break here. This is Carl Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio on News Talk 1400 KQMS. Phone lines here are 221-1402. We're going to be addressing these questions and more symptoms, what we can do.
You're listening to, am I on? Oh, I can hardly hear myself, but that's okay. Unusual. I got lots of voices in my head. Anyway, this is Carla Linda Bob.
This is a good time to discover that. We've got three people here who can probably address that one. Sadie.
All right. Anyway, this is Free Fire Radio. Of course, this is Carla Linda Bott. At 35 degrees out right now. The time is 8:31. I have a question for our experts. Let's say that you're in a family, or let's say perhaps you're driving right now and you're thinking, I just, on your way to work or wherever you're going, you're listening to our program, I don't know how to speak. I don't know how to break, my code of, I just, you know, those stoic people, in other words. So could you give a little advice of how you could start a communication with just a simple word or a simple sentence?
Well, I found in working with kids that small little questions that are really kind of specific probably get you more information over time than a big open-ended one where the answer might be, oh, nothing. So a specific question that requires an answer. You know, what's going on in terms of you spending a lot of time in your room lately? Where have you been, you know, after school? Letting the young person know that, you know, I'm asking because I'm concerned, you know. We haven't seen much of you lately. I want to let you know that I'm here to help. If anything's going on, I want to be there for you.
So a series of smaller questions, it seems like the way to do it because, like you said, hey, how's it going is... And they've got to be specific questions, too, because you give one like, hey, how's it going? It's going fine. You know, peachy. Somebody asked me something, I go, peachy. They don't know what peachy means. So,
yeah, and Maxine mentioned also, talk to the friends, community, you know, neighbors at work, coaches, teachers. Find out if the behavior that you're seeing either from either your youth or from other family members is pretty consistent. And again, ask the questions. And Maxine hit it right on the head by without asking questions, open-ended type of questions that have some specifics to them about a particular area, then you're not going to get the answers if you don't ask.
Is there some kind of outreach program that happens in the schools? Like, say, for instance, when you have assemblies. We asked this to Debbie and Steve Allen yesterday. Where you have an assembly and you talk about what has what can happen, what to look out for, and that you give the kids in that emotional, hormonal state, let's say, that's growing, trying to reach out for some kind of hope that you can get through this because there's so much to look forward to in life.
One of the things that we're doing in terms of suicide prevention is working to get so-called gatekeepers trained in knowing the signs of suicide, knowing how to ask the appropriate question, knowing what to do with the response that you get to the question. Right now, NAMI is providing question, persuade, refer trainings, QPR. They happen, I believe, once a month or twice a month. The next class will be on February 17th at 9 to 11 o'clock in the morning. And that takes place at NVCSS on Washington Street.
And are these classes are free, correct?
Yes, they're free classes. They teach, at this point, we're targeting adults, but we are also working to get this program to the schools, to train staff, schools.
Now, is there a reason that they'd, that the staff hasn't been coming to these, or is it just something like timing or what? Or are you just trying to push it out?
It's something that's fairly new, first and foremost. Second, timing. It's during the middle of their workday.
Well, if you have it on Saturdays, though, wouldn't that be able to be better to assist?
Actually, members of the Shasta Union High School District Counseling staff did participate in one of these trainings a few months ago.
Great, great. Hey, let's go to the phones here. Tom, good morning.
Oh, good morning. I've got a kind of a frog in my throat, so you'll have to hear beyond my croak.
We'll hear you on your croak. Shoot, Tom.
join the club here.
Well, suicide's always a kind of a ticklish issue, and nobody ever wants to call it's ever attempted it or felt like it, but if it helps, I'll relate a few things. 30 years ago, that's about all I had on my mind for 6 months. And you need to get to some kind of a therapist that can help you through it. Because usually the scenario is not as bad as it looks. It's a perception what you're seeing, not what's actually happening sometimes. And the perception tends to get magnified in an individual that feels like they want to take their own life.
Yeah, well, you know, and that's it, is that, these, you know, it seems like you're in a box. Their only way out is to end it. And
yeah,
in almost every, you know, in every case, not almost, in every case, that's not true.
Well, let me tell you, sometimes people commit suicide because they have some terminal illness. Other times it's just emotional stress of something or financial difficulty. They just feel, it's a mountain. Everything's a mountain in front of them.
And you know,
I'll tell you something, you know, when people finally do it, then they look back, oh, I see that. And I see it. But there's warning signs all the way through there that people should be cognizant of. And one thing I wanted to say, there was a lady that called about her son possibly being gay. I remember hearing something on KVIP about some church in town that had parents and friends or whatever. I just, a couple of times in driving, I didn't pay that much attention. But she might call them up and find out, because they advertise periodically. And, you know, I was very active in the Pro-On 8 campaign, and I thought, well, I'm going to gear up for some more argument when the court, if it turns it over. And I started studying into this, which never fascinated me before. I came up with kind of a little different perspective than I've held all my life, so I kind of feel bad for these kids that are going through a struggle in that way, asking questions why, and just feel like they can't tell anybody.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think empathy is something everybody should try to have for other people. And in a way, maybe you can't identify with it exactly because you're not in their shoes, but let them understand that you care for them.
And that's, you know, Tom, thanks so much for your phone call, Tom.
Yeah,
we appreciate
okay.
it.
Thank you.
You know, and that's what's right. We're going back again, that your friends, your peers, your family are so important here. And it just has to be one of them that sees it. That can make all the difference in the world, if I believe. John, good morning.
Good morning, Carl. Sorry you're feeling so bad.
Yeah.
Good morning, Linda.
Good morning, John.
Listen, I'm not an expert on any of this, and I'm not going to try to claim to be, but it seems to me that this is the perfect time to start a dialogue with your children. If it could be any better than right now when there's an example to put forward to them of this is what's going on, how do you feel about this? And let's talk about suicide. Let's talk about the problems that these kids must have been going through, because it gives you an avenue into your own children and an opportunity to discuss with them what's happening.
You know, that's a really, really a good point, John. I see everybody in here nodding their heads up and down. Maxine?
Yeah, I agree 100%. Whatever's happening in your child's life, your relationship with your child is your most powerful tool in terms of being a help and being able to know what's going on.
Well, you know, the thing about it here, as John pointed out, I mean, this is the opportunity. I mean, this has struck home out at Foothill, of course, but there's been others. And so I think that this is a good opportunity to what do you think of this to your children?
Well, you know, the thing is that the children of today have so much more pressure put on them than at any other time. I mean, there's a lot of similarities, but still, the pressure's going on right now that their parents are going through with the economics and everything else. But we have to take time out and discuss with them what's happening in their life and what they can do, what we can do to help them out. That's all.
Okay, absolutely. Thanks so much,
okay.
John.
Have a
Thanks
good day,
for your phone call. You bet. Hey, look, this is Carl Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio on News Talk 1400 KQMS. Phone lines here 221-1402. The phone lines are backing up. A lot of questions here. We're just a short period of time to go. Join us on the other side.
Welcome back. It's Free Fire Radio with Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning. We have just an amazing show today. We're talking with the experts from the Shasta County Mental Health Services. And this portion of the show is brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry, which is 2225 Hilltop Drive. Valentine's Day is coming up. So remember your loved one. Go in there and get the best of the best by the local experts. Let's go to the phone to Christine. Good morning.
Good morning, Christine.
Hi. I just tuned in at 8:25, and I really wasn't sure if you had given any information on the suicide loss support group.
I don't know if they. I don't think they've mentioned that specifically.
Okay. Well, we've been around for a long time, but we are from Helpline, and kind of an anonymous place anyway, so we don't get a lot of press. But what we do is for those who have lost someone to suicide, and. You know, it really helps to have those around you who understand. And also we do a lot of information and teaching on the loss process so that you understand where you are and that, you know, the emotions for grief are the most intense you will ever have. And so it often makes you feel crazy. We just feel crazy. And therefore, knowing other people who are going through this, you see them getting through it. You see those who have been in that process for a longer time and that they're doing okay. You understand that you're not crazy. You're just grieving and that you have those to reach out to. We often burn out our friends and family because they think we should be doing better or we should be whatever getting over it would look like. But what we actually do is we learn to live with our losses. We find a place to put those in our heart. Those ones we've lost, and to take them with us into our future. So support groups, you know, obviously are not for everyone, and a lot of times you can't do them right away. But I wanted to get that information out there because they are a great help for those who can come and have others walk through them, through this process with them.
Thanks for calling in, Christine. I'm glad that you brought that information up to the surface. You can explain it a lot better than I think I can at this point. I have a question. Do you have your teen support group in motion?
You know, we don't. I have been in contact with Michael Leary out at Foothill, and that is one of the things we want to do. We have never done a teen suicide loss support group. And I think with their peers, we have had younger people come to our group, and so we kind of treated them kind of like the adults. We weren't sure really what to do with them. But in doing a teen group, I think would be awesome because they would be with their peers. They wouldn't be intimidated by the adults in our group.
You know, Christine, how do we get the information out on your group? Do you have a website, or is it just phones, or what? How do we do this?
Well, Helpline has the information, and that number, of course, is 225-5252.
All right.
And then we do advertise in the paper when we have our 3 or 5 week sessions. Other than that, we are the second and fourth Thursday of the month, so it's only twice a month, and 6 to 8, and we are at the Northern Valley Catholic Social Services Building, 2400 Washington Avenue.
Christine, can I ask you to do a big favor for us? Go to our website and drop us a email with all this information so we can put that up.
Freefireradio.com is our
Good.
Website. Thank you so much.
And that way we can get it published so that people will have another avenue here besides
well,
just
I
our government.
I do want to mention one other one real quick. I don't know if you know about this, but we have a bereaved parent support group up at Mercy. Mercy Hospice.
Very important.
That's very important. I actually, I'll tell you a little tiny bit here. I lost 2 cents to suicide in 95. And that's why I work in this field. I went to both groups. I went to the Bereaved Parent Support Group, and that's run by Terry Pizzora and also another facilitator. And I went to both groups for about 4 years before I began to work with Helpline. So they're both good groups.
Well, Christine, well, you know, you're another one of the heroes of our community that's reaching out to help people.
Yeah, it's a rough road.
Yeah.
But you can get through it.
Thank you so much for sharing this. And please, please, come go to our website and drop us a line so we can get this information out. And thank you so much.
I certainly will. Thank you.
I'd like to share a quick story of somebody who I went to high school with that was a very, very, I mean, one of my best friends. And just a pillar of the community, four kids. They were very involved with church. His son was an Eagle Scout. His son, so he knew what it was to build something. He was a star athlete, 15 years old, one morning goes upstairs and takes his life in their closet. And I just was in shock because my friend was such a good guy, and I know what I can't describe. I could never know what he was going through, but it's just that we're the signs. And he had said, you know something, when I look back on it, he mentioned it to me, and he had just lost his grandfather, who again was the big patriarch of the family, so on and so forth. And he said he wanted to be with his grandfather. So there was a sign. So I think if anything, we can be looking for the signs with our youth and with our people and our friends and family in our community.
This is Carl Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, News Talk 1400 KQMS. Phone lines here, 221-1402. We come back, we have like 4 or 5 minutes. We're going to wrap up here and talk some of the largest thing, the most important thing you can do with your family.
You're listening to Free Fire Radio with Carl and Linda Bott. We have been talking with our experts today from Shasta County Mental Health Services. Thank you, Dr. Mark Montgomery, Katie Selman, and Maxine Ueda. You guys, this is such a subject, and Katie, you were saying at the break that in your year of working on one of the hotlines, there's not been one person that you haven't talked to that somehow directly or indirectly has not been affected by suicide.
Well, that's true, except I don't work on a hotline. I just work in the community to educate people on suicide prevention, and I haven't spoken with a single individual who hasn't had some type of suicide experience.
Okay.
So what would you say, Dr. Montgomery, is the most important thing you want to leave with our listeners today?
You know, the most important thing with this particular issue, as you can imagine, is to communicate. Communicate, communicate, communicate is the key. It's question, persuade, and refer. And you hear the acronym QPR a number of times, and you'll hear that in our community. Question, persuade, and refer. Questions, when they pop up, ask the difficult questions. Stay in front. Ask people who know people. Persuade. Persuade the person for help. We have outstanding licensed therapists in our community that do great work, that have access to mental health, that have access to crisis residentials and some other things that are very important during these times when people need that kind word and a smile. And then most importantly, we have to be prepared. Also, we have veterans that are returning from war that we also need to gear up as a community and be able to identify those needs and be out ahead of it. The challenge with some issues like suicide is, unfortunately, at times we're behind, and that's unfortunate. Part of mental health in our next couple of years through the Mental Health Services Act is really developing a prevention and early intervention approach, and so you'll hear a lot more about that in our community in the near future.
Well, we'd like you to come on and talk about that. I know that in the military that we address this. And the first thing is that if you fear it, you go right to the person and ask them if they're thinking of killing themselves, you know, to bring it out like that. And, you know, we start talking post-traumatic stress. And post-traumatic stress isn't just for the military. Post-traumatic stress is what's happened out at Foothill, or it's what's happened after a car wreck, or it's what's happened after something in your family, which could be a loss of job, income, and everything. All that's post-traumatic stress. So just don't think it's a military problem. I mean, I know you all don't, but this is something we all need to face. So I think we'd love to have you all back on in in a few weeks and maybe kind of like carry this out just a little bit further.
Sure. And in terms of additional supports and resources, Shasta County Mental Health does provide risk assessment on a walk-in basis during business hours. You can also access assessment after business hours through the local emergency rooms. And Helpline provides phone contact and support through 225-5252.
Now, is there, just off the top of my, is there a suicide hotline? Can we just give that number quickly, what the suicide hotline is? It should be on everybody's speed dial just in case somebody they know they need to get in touch quickly.
The local helpline, Help Incorporated, is the number Maxine just gave, 225-5252.
Great. Okay, look, we really want to thank you all for being here, Mark and Katie and Maxine. Again, we'll have you all back on at another time. We moved things around this week so we could get these two stories out, which are important, we believe, is on teen drinking and the results of with the horrible results that can happen. And then now the ways that maybe we can help our community and prevent suicide. Tomorrow, our guest is Patricia Barrett, who has been leading the fight against abatement from REU to put people out on the streets if they don't have their utilities paid. Friday, our guest will be Mary Selman, city council member. This is Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. Just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?